I just want to first of all acknowledge the worship ministry of the church. I've had the privilege of sitting in a number of worship team meetings. Part of my role as a pastor in the church is helping to oversight worship. These people have a wonderful heart for Jesus, and their goal and their passion is to help you guys worship Jesus here on a Sunday morning. They put effort and time throughout the week for it, and so I just wanted to publicly acknowledge them for the work that they're doing behind the scenes. I appreciate not many of you see it, but it's wonderful and it's beautiful, and it helps my heart love Jesus more as well. Also got some things to pray about. I don't know if you've caught up with the news, but Charlene's son Caleb has gone into hospital overnight with a kidney infection, and so we're going to pray that he can get transferred out of emergency into a more comfortable place, but also that God will bring healing upon him. It's also great to see Graham back from overseas. Some very interesting things in terms of airplanes and flights doing interesting things, and spontaneous Bible lecturing, which just sounds like an interesting thing. So go and speak to Graham after if you want to hear some of that. We're also just going to pray in general that the Lord will stop any plans that Satan's got bubbling away to thwart us as we're looking to extend God's kingdom. So let's pray. Margaret's back. Yes. Where is Margaret? Margaret, it's great to have you back. Margaret's been away for a few weeks, but it's wonderful that she's here this morning. Yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace to us. As that song, just singing about grace to grace to grace. Lord, we don't deserve any of it, and yet you give it. That's who you are. That's what you do. So we thank you for that. I pray that as our hearts are seeking to praise you, that you might help us to praise the real you. Lord, your truth is there in the word for us. We're going to be digging into it this morning. I pray that you might impress it on our hearts, that when we pray to you, that when we sing to you, that when we ask of you, we know the one whom we're asking. Through Jesus, that we know God Almighty. What a wonderful privilege it is to even just come before your throne. Lord, we want to praise you for Graham's trip, for keeping him safe and bringing him back to us, but also, Lord, for the opportunity he had to teach and translate the Bible while he's over there. I thank you for that. I pray that you'd bless him and help him rest in his return as well. Father, I also pray for Caleb, Charlene's son, down south with a kidney infection. Lord, you know what's going on there. I pray you might give wisdom to the people treating him. And Lord, Charlene's particularly asked that he gets transferred to a hospital where he can be more comfortable. So Lord, we're praying for that this morning as well. Lord, for the whole journey that Caleb's been on with his health, Lord, I pray that you might continue to speak, and not just into his physical nature and his health and bring healing upon him, Lord, but you might speak to his heart and help him to know that you are God Almighty and that you love him and that you care for him. Father, we thank you that Margaret's back among us as well. That's wonderful. I pray that you might continue to bring healing upon her. And I just thank you for a smiling face here amongst us this morning. Father, I do ask that as we're seeking to spread out, as what we've been told by you to do, to enlarge the tent, Lord, to have a second service, but also spread out and enlarge our capacity to reach people for you in our homes and in our workplaces and in other places, Lord, I pray that as we do that, you might help us to be able to identify Satan's schemes, call them what they are, and then go to King Jesus. Lord, time and time again in your word, we see Satan's interactions with Jesus and demons' interactions with Jesus, and Jesus is the strongest one. That's the proclamation of Scripture. And I pray, Lord, that in those moments in our lives that we might be able to proclaim that Jesus is King, that Jesus is boss, that Jesus is the one who rules all things. So when we see and identify Satan at work, Lord, I pray we might call that out and come to you in prayer. Victorious King Jesus, we thank you this morning for being here among us, for being praiseworthy, and for giving us your word. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Spread out. There it is. Flip over to the next slide there. This is the scripture that we've been in, mainly in verse 2. I'm going to read it for you. I've got the ESV version. There's been some different versions used throughout, but it's helpful to sometimes have a look at a text that we've been in for a while in a different version to see what it says. So let's have a look. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. Very interesting. People is used as a verb there. I'm coming to this place to people it. Seems a little bit odd. We're going to talk about that a bit later. This passage has been preached on for 3 weeks in a row now. Mark particularly saying, helping us to understand, enlarging the tent is not just about having more people here, but it's about a way of life, as somebody who knows Jesus, that we might be able to look at Jesus and see that Jesus isn't just for us, but Jesus is for the world. That our posture might be to enlarge our capacity to show people Jesus, enlarge our showing of the world the light of Christ. He also said that as we do that, there's likely to be things that come up against us, things that are going to thwart our ability to do that, stop us from doing that, fear, frustration, fatigue, and one more F that I should remember. Fighting, there you go. Sorry, Mark, if you listen to this recording, I should have been listening better. Warren last week was talking about driving the tent pegs deep. We don't get to just go on and march for Jesus if we're going to ignore Jesus and just do the task. It doesn't work like that. We have to drive down deep into the gospel. We need to know the gospel. That's the song of our hearts if we're going to exude it anywhere. Today, verse 3 there particularly, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. It's our focus verse for the day. Flip over to the next slide. Cast my mind back this week to when I was just under 5 years old, the Mwillimbah Saints Soccer Club. I was on the team, and the coach was a generous and gracious person. Just put it that way, because coaching under five soccer, I don't know if you've seen an under five soccer match, but I don't know if you've noticed how many people are in that picture with the ball. That's actually unusual for soccer. It shouldn't be like that. And so I can remember the coach always saying, guys, spread out. Would you spread out? It's like, I can remember looking at him probably with a glaze, looking in my eyes going, I think I'll chase the ball because that's much more fun for me to do. Spread out, spread out. The coach had a different vision for what the team could be. He's trying to explain it to five-year-olds. It's a little bit difficult. In the scriptures, we see that God had a vision for what his people and his church could be that is very much like that soccer match. Spread out. Spread out. This is for the world. But sometimes we're a little bit thick and sometimes we don't get it. That Jesus is for the world. He's not just for you. He's for the world. You will spread out. Flip over a couple more slides. Next one. This image is actually a really, really old image. The history of the world is a big history, and it's kind of all we got to look at. And if we've got a big timeline there, I want to go right back to the beginning, Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. We're starting to understand God's interacting with people. His early interactions, there's no sin. Sin comes into the world, and there's difficulty, and there's strife, and we understand that God is a holy God. He can't just let sin go without punishment. And so we get this tension. How is this going to work? How is a holy God going to interact with a sinful person? And we see God interacting all the way through Genesis with different people and different people sinning in different ways, causing, looking at God going, no thanks God, I'll do things my way instead of the way that you've shown me. And out of nowhere, it's like, in Genesis 12, there's this guy called Abraham, or Abram at that stage, and to be honest, the Bible doesn't communicate he's anybody special. The Bible doesn't say that he somehow had a great gusto in his obedience to God or that he looked special or that he was special anyway. God just chose him. And he says this promise to him. Have a look up here. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families on earth shall be blessed. Right from the start, when God's going, you know what? I'm going to make for myself a people. I'm going to choose Abraham to do it. And right from the start, that people is meant to be a blessing to the world. This is in God's plan. This is in God's stream to spread out. To take our capacity to understand and show God out to the world. It's what we're meant to do. It's a very, very old image. God, as the soccer coach, has been yelling this for a very long time. Spread out, spread out, spread out. This is for the world. And so we've got this verse on the next slide that we're looking at today. You will spread abroad to the right and the left, and your offspring will possess the nations, and your people the desolate places. There'll be desolate cities, desolate places of ruin and destruction and grossness. And God's people in Isaiah, which is thousands of years after he's come to Abraham, are told again, do you know who you are? You are the people of God who are going to go into brokenness and darkness, and you're going to spread the grace and life of God there. It's been a message that's gone on and on and on and on and on in the Bible when you see it. The other thing you see on and on and on and on and on and on in the Bible is just like the disobedience of me in the soccer team going, you know what, coach, I don't think so. I think I'll just chase the ball. We see Israel go, you know what, God, I know your ways, but I kind of just don't want to follow them right now. And so Israel, time and time again, go after other gods. They look at God's plans and ways and they don't. They appoint kings for themselves who aren't godly. Time and time again, we see that the plan of God is to spread out and bless the world, but then it seems to be in the hands of these five-year-olds. How's this going to work again and again and again? And if I'm completely honest, I look at the vision that God's given us as a church. Enlarge your tent. Don't hold back. Come on, go. And then I look at my own life and I go, well, are you sure you got the right person? And I look at the track record of humanity and I'm like, are you sure, God? Are you sure? Flip over to the next slide. See, the reality is this, and the Bible calls it out as a reality as well. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned, and they've actually fallen short of the glory of God. You want to know how the Bible kind of evaluates humanity? That's a pretty good summary verse. Every one of them has in some way looked at what God's ideals are for them and gone, no, thank you, I'll take it from here. I have, you have. So if you've come this morning with your chest puffed out going, oh, I'm going to church, it's going to be great, I'm sorry. But this is what the Bible says of us. That there is not one person in this room who is not stained with sin. Not me, not you. And if you've come here as a sinner and you feel like you're amongst a bunch of perfect people, think again. That's not what's happening here. Flip over to the next slide. Another way the Bible describes us, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Dead. Not like moderately alive. Almost dead. No. You were dead. You didn't even have a capacity to lift yourself up out of that. I didn't have a capacity to lift myself up out of that. I couldn't. And so I look at something like, enlarge the tent, spread out, go and people the desolate places. And I look at this and I'm like, I don't know if I can do that. But, and you knew this was coming, I know you did. Flip over to the next slide. Look at the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus to the world. This is the message above all messages, the one that changes everything. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You didn't clean yourself up and then present yourself to God and God says, ah, now you're ready to spread out. Nope. You were dead. You were a sinner. You were weak. You were ungodly. The Bible even says in Romans 1, you are a hater of God. And God still came to you. And he still died for you. This is beautiful. And have a look at the next one from Ephesians 2. But God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. There was no goodness in me that I presented to God and said, will you have me? Nope. God came to me as a broken sinner and he said, I'm going to make you alive again. And the only response that we can have to that is thank you, thank you, thank you. There's no chest beating here. There is only, as we sung earlier, a boast in Christ. Christ alone. He is the only reason that we can be here, that we can know him. We were so broken, but God was so good to us. And he made us alive again. If you haven't placed your faith in Jesus, then you're still dead. Come alive now. Trust him. Right now. Trust his death for you on the cross and be saved. Come alive. Now you might think, okay, well that's talking about coming alive, but what about those moments when we feel like, yes, I know I've been told to go and enlarge the tent. Yes, I know I should probably meet my neighbor. Yes, I know I should probably cut back on some stuff in life so I've got margin to be able to help. Yes, I know those things, but, and there's list of buts, and the fear and the fatigue and the fighting and these things, they rise up. And sometimes you can feel, even though you're saved and even though you know Jesus, that you, and that's where the Bible still speaks into this. Have a look at Romans 8, 33 to 37. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who's going to condemn? Christ Jesus was the one who died. You know, if I died for me, they might go, well, yeah, this guy, he was a dead. He was dead. He was a hater of God. Who cares if he died? Jesus died for me. So when the accusations of people come going, who are you to spread out? Who are you to enlarge a tent? Who are you to... The truth comes to me and it points to Jesus and said, Jesus was the one who died. Jesus was the one who died. More than that, he was raised and he's at the right hand of God, who is indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. And it is through him. Let's have a look at the next slide. 2 Corinthians 5. Sorry, we're jumping around a bit, but we'll stop jumping soon and camp in Acts for a bit. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, now drink this up. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Before I was in Christ, I was dead in my sin. I didn't have a capacity to spread out. I didn't have a capacity to bring life to the desolate places. But now that I'm in Christ, there is a life in me. There is a new creation that has happened. I have been transformed. You have been transformed. If you trust in Jesus, you are someone that you weren't before. You are new. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I hope you track in the trajectory of life here for the Christian. There was a deadness. There was lifelessness. But God saved us. God changed us. He didn't just change us. He calls us into his purpose. And now we are ambassadors for God. We're new creation ambassadors for God. We've been thoroughly changed from what we were to what we are. Because of God, through God. So when Satan wants to come and he wants to say to you, you're nothing and you can't do it, let me tell my own heart, it's not about me. It's not about you. It is only through Christ that any of this can ever happen anyway. I hope that makes you breathe a sigh of relief. Because knowing your neighbor sometimes is hard, but it is in Christ that you will people the desolate places. Going and joining a club as president sometimes is going to be hard, but it is in Christ that Stuart can people the desolate places. It's his strength. It's his conquering. This is beautiful for us. This is lifting the weight off our shoulders as a church, knowing and understanding the gospel, which says it's not about you, it is about Christ. It says it over and over and over and over. So if you flip back to history, we've seen sin has entered the world and God's had a plan to people desolate places right back from Genesis. What if we fast forward through? Christ has come and he's died. And now we look at Acts, which is the early church. And we see people who have had this new creation change happen to them. We see ambassadors on the ground in history that we can read in our scriptures. The book of Acts has a really cool little bonus thing for you. Now, I want you to read all of the book of Acts, but there's a little cheat. It's not a cheat. There's these little summary paragraphs. So you can get this flow of the book of Acts by just like getting a verse here and then a verse there and then a verse there. And I've picked them out for us this morning. But still go and read the whole book of Acts. It's good. Let's have a look at some of these summary verses. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I hope that's ringing a bell, hearing a verse like this as a summary verse in Acts. It's not just these people staying in their spot going, well, God is for me and that's really good. God has said, the Holy Spirit's in you now, and what's the Holy Spirit going to do? Well, the Holy Spirit's going to be witnessing in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the whole earth. Echoing Genesis way, way, way back, thousands of years beforehand. God's not a God that's like, oh, I was planning this one time, and then I just decided to plan this another time. God is big, and God is sovereign, and his plan has been in place from before time began. Same plan. Here it is again. Acts 2, verse 46 and 47. Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food and with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Brilliant. The tent is enlarging. Acts 6, 7. And the word of God continued to increase. I hope you note what the word of God is doing in these summary statements. We don't graduate from the word of God and then go walking. The word of God is in this mix, well and truly. And the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many priests became obedient to the faith. This is God's people, the Jews, starting to understand the truth of Scripture and actually align themselves rather than just a general Jesus-less view of God, Yahweh. They are now understanding that Yahweh has spoken through his Son. They're becoming obedient to the faith. And so these people that used to go to the temple, they sin, they go to the temple and they sacrifice stuff and they think that that's going to forgive their sin, have now turned to Jesus, realizing that he is the ultimate sacrifice, and they're becoming obedient to the faith. They're starting to realize they don't go and sacrifice a lamb because the lamb has been sacrificed. Awesome. Acts 9:31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. There it is again. Acts 12:24, but the word of God increased and multiplied. Now, there's been a significant thing happen in between Acts 12 and Acts 16 when these two summary statements are. Now it's gone beyond just Jerusalem and Judea, and it's starting to touch on that ends of the earth kind of thing. These are Gentiles. These are people who had nothing to do with God, who are sitting in their houses, probably with little statues, worshipping the God who was going to give them rain. These people. Let's see what it says in that context. Acts 16, verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Here comes the message of the gospel. Acts 19, 20. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily, even out towards the ends of the earth. God has not changed his plan. We get a little snippet of it in Acts, and we see somebody who is writing the very words of God to us, who's placed us in this place today to hear that it's not a great big unique blob that is our little thing to enlarge the tent or spread out. God tells his whole church over all of history and his whole people over all of history to spread out. And he not only tells them to do it, he equips them from the inside out to be able to do it. And we get to see them in Acts with the Holy Spirit on the inside, marching the gospel of Jesus forward, and it multiplied. And the word of God increased. It's brilliant. It's beautiful. Flip over to the next slide. I went to a church planting conference. That wasn't it. I went to a church planting conference on the Gold Coast. It was windy and rainy and, yep. There was a speaker there who was the head of the network of church planters that it was for. His name was Matt. And Matt said because he's part of a global church planting network, was in Europe. And he was encouraging people in Europe to plant churches. This guy loves the Lord Jesus. He will acknowledge he was no one, and God changed him. It made him a new creation, has sent him on a different course, and now he's encouraging people to spread the gospel of Jesus all over the earth. And he's in Europe, and he has some time in between the conference that he's in Europe, and he decides he's going to spend $20 and go and see the Colosseum. And the Colosseum looks a bit like that. It's in ruins. It's basically one of the biggest symbols that we have of the Roman Empire. Now, the Roman Empire, in terms of history, get this, about BC 25, so just before Jesus, to about 1,400 was when the wheels finally fell off the Roman Empire. So this is close to 1,500 years. This is basically the greatest civilization this world in its history has ever seen in terms of the time that they had control, the time that they were in control of the known kind of earth. And look at that symbol of greatness. Look at that greatness now. It's ruins. I don't know one person who exists that still wants to hail King Caesar, to worship King Caesar anymore. You know what the Roman Empire tried to do to Christianity? Stamp it out. The early disciples, they got beheaded. They got tormented. They got thrown in prison. They got starved. But you can't stop new creation, people. You can't stop God's big plan that's been there for all of history. And as God's big plan rolled on, it rolls on past Acts through into a day where there's a guy whose life is about helping gospel communities pop up all over the world, who's standing in the ruins of the greatest civilization that's ever known, having paid $20 in there. And his heart is singing to King Jesus. And the world has gospel communities all around it where King Jesus is still known, is still praised. King Jesus is praised here. Why? Not because humanity's great and humanity's managed to pass on this message. Nope. Because Jesus is great. And he really transforms people. And despite the worst of opposition, despite wherever you think your life is at now, that it's just impossible to do this, it is not true. If you place your faith in Jesus, he changes us for this task. He changes us so that we can spread the gospel. It's what happens. To know Jesus and to know the gospel, something wells up. So what does this look like? What does it look like to be here now? In Forest Lake or whichever suburb you live in? I mean, it's all well and good to sort of have a view of history, but at some point we're in there, right? At some point in the timeline we're here, and there's history over there, and people are going to be worshiping King Jesus. Revelation says that it's going to be worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Not worthy, worthy, worthy is this church planter guy, or worthy, worthy, worthy is Forest Lake Baptist Church. Worthy, worthy, worthy is Jesus is the end. And so we're standing here in history, and what does it look like for us here now? I was listening to a guy named Jeff Van der Stelt, during the week. He was sharing a podcast, and he was saying, he was talking about discipleship, what he believes God's calling him to and helping other people learn about Jesus and follow Jesus. And part of his strategy for doing that is just opening his home way up to lots of different people. And he's been doing it for many, many years. And he said, over that time, he's had people come into his house and sit at his house for dinner and then steal his stuff on the way out. Over that time, he's had people come in to his house that he's explained the gospel of Jesus who've then smashed his stuff on the way out. He's had stuff broken accidentally from just having people in all the time. He's had people learn information about him opening his life to them and then go away and use that information to slander him among other people. And the next thing he said when I was listening to him was, I wouldn't change a thing. What? You're nuts. He said, Jesus is far better. I got to explain Jesus to those people, and Jesus is worth far more than my stuff. Jesus is worth far more than my name. I love that. He's a changed dude who is bringing light in desolate and dark places. And the darkness and the desolation, it's real. There's real hurts and real broken people out there. In Forest Lake, in your streets. To be honest, in your homes. It's broken people all over the place. This week at church, we had a couple have somebody knock on their door. When they opened the door, there was somebody there who was beaten by their husband. It was their neighbor. It was a lady who had just suffered from domestic violence right then, right there, and she needed to go somewhere and she needed to do something, and so she knocked on people from this church's door. Knowing full well there's an angry man next door, this elderly couple decided that they would invite the person in, opening themselves up to potential interactions with a very, very angry, maybe vicious person next door, I don't know. Opening themselves up to a brokenness that was deep and big. There's lots of other issues going on in it as well. And they sat with her, and they loved her, and they gave her a drink. They called some other Christians around who prayed for her. They helped her find a place, a safe place for her kid and for her. Enlarge the tent isn't just fill up this building. Enlarge the tent is opening our lives up to darkness, knowing full well we are new creation people. It's not because we're awesome we can take on this darkness and somehow absorb it in and out of ourselves and keep doing it. No, no. Jesus does that in us and through us. Knock, knock, knock. They opened the door, and who was there? It was King Jesus. Come. We are Christ's ambassadors. God has not changed his plan in this. God has orchestrated all of this stuff throughout history so that people will know the name of Jesus and turn the name of Jesus and have their lives transformed. I want to encourage you. I know it's hard. But know what you have in Jesus. Know the depth of what you have in Jesus. And when the opportunity comes for you to take a step out and you to love, and you know that it's going to hurt, you know that someone might steal your stuff or break your things or whatever it might be, I'd encourage you and implore you to think of Jesus at that moment and know that He is transforming you. He is giving you a capacity and a power through His Spirit that is not from you. No, no, no. The song at the end of days is going to be singing Jesus' song. See, as Christians, people who have placed their faith in Jesus, we're caught up not in ourselves. We're caught up in God's big plan. We've got lots of small ambitions, things we want to get done in our day and our week that sort of jump on in and become really large. And we need to open the Word, and we need to see what God's big plan is, and we need to align ourselves with God's big plan so we can see and know that it actually all of history, of all time, is always and forever about Jesus. Pointing people to Jesus. So flip over to the next slide. I will people the desolate cities. I will read of that. I will bring some life where there wasn't life. There are people of faith in this building now. There's people who've got Jesus in their heart. And I know, I've seen Jesus in lots of you. I've seen the way that you behave, the way that you act, the way that you pray. And I'm confident that in Forest Lake, the desolate places are going to get peopled. Why? Not because you're awesome, but because Jesus is awesome. I'm confident that the desolate places in Pilara are going to get peopled. Not because anybody in the plant team is awesome, but because Jesus is awesome. It is always and forever about Jesus. I'm going to pray now. If you have not placed your faith in Jesus, you should. The whole world is about him. But there is no point in trusting yourself when you know yourself. Know Jesus. Trust him. And if you have already trusted in Jesus, I just want to encourage you that Jesus is doing a work here. He doesn't just point us to a passage like this and go, oh, well, that'll do for the vision for the year, that's fine. But Jesus is pointing us to the same thing that he's been pointing his people to for so long. And he's saying, take note of this, Forest Lake Baptist. Look at it. Let's pray. Father, would you encourage our hearts, Lord? Lord, where we look around at our scheduling, when we look around at our life and we can think of all the reasons possible why we can't people the desolate places, why we can't align ourselves with King Jesus and spread his message forever. Lord, when that rises up within us, I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit you might raise Jesus up inside us also, that you might help us to know that we are more than conquerors through him, not through our own efforts, not through our own help, not through our own planning, but through him. I pray that that might be a reality for us in this week. Lord, when we're seeking to enlarge the tent, when we're seeking to step into new places and different places and darkness, Lord, I pray that you might help us to be that light, the light that shines from your Son, Jesus, not just our own lives, not just our own morality, Lord, but you. Lord, by your Spirit, help us to have the words to say, help us to have the actions to take. Lord, we confess we get it wrong over and over again, but Lord, you still remain. We are always, forevermore, more than conquerors because of your love to us. Father, if there are people in this room that don't yet know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that today might be the day. I pray that you might well up in them a way that we think and look at Jesus, that they might see something about the way we love you and go, hey, I want me some of that. But Lord, ultimately, that they might look through us and actually see King Jesus who died on the cross for them to give them new life, to turn them into new creation people, to give them a plan and a purpose on this earth. Oh, Father, would you do that, I pray. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you wanted to respond to anything,